Khan, originally from Harrisonburg, Virginia, now living and studying at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan. Are you craving more From the Top? We've got you covered. Listen to extended interviews on the From the Top podcast. Watch exceptional musical performances on From the Top Daily Joy videos. And discover opportunities to meet From the Top in person. Find this and more on our website. Visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. From BritBox, with the goal of helping people discover a world of British TV, including new original series Archie, The Man Who Became Cary Grant, streaming at BritBox.com/NPR. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Welcome back to From the Top, where outstanding young musicians come to play. I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan. It's so great to be with all of you this week and every week, thanks to the generosity of Susan and Gerald Slavitt. We're coming to you from the Interlochen Center for the Arts, home to Interlochen Public Radio. A number of the young musicians here with us today call this gorgeous wooded lakeside campus of Interlochen home, including our next young musician, 17-year-old violist Alexandra Yeo from Mason, Ohio. Ali will be performing the first of Schumann's Märchenbilder with me, Peter Dugan, at the piano. Ali, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Whenever you're ready, let's take it from the top.
Thank you.
That was the first of Robert Schumann's Märchenbilder, or fairy tales, performed by Alexandra Yeo, 17 years old from Mason, Ohio, now living and studying at Interlaken in Michigan. I'm Peter Dugan, and I was at the piano. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Schumann titled it The Fairy Tale. What does it mean to you?
It feels very mysterious, and it has like enchanting qualities to it.
I thought you did such a beautiful job of bringing out the enchantment, but also the sort of gloominess. Where do you feel this piece takes place?
In like a dark forest.
Yes, it's so a dark forest.
Yeah.
You took me there with that rich viola sound. What is the most magical phrase for you in the piece? Can you play just a few notes where it feels the most magical?
Sure.
Yeah, it's all the trilling and that sort of sinking down into that low register.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. Why is it great to be a violist?
Because you get to play the C string.
It's what makes you unique, right? It separates you all from the violinists.
Yeah.
What about the role that a viola plays in larger chamber ensembles like a quartet versus in this kind of sonata type setting that we just played?
The viola, it has like accompanying moments in chamber music, but it also has its soloist moments. It's like the backbone of chamber music, and without it, ensemble music would feel empty.
Every musician who comes on this show makes so many sacrifices. You know, you all work so hard. What would you say are some of the more difficult choices you have made in order to pursue music?
In my junior year of high school, I moved away from my family to study at Cleveland Institute of Music.
Mm-hmm.
The previous year of high school, my mom and I were driving up every Friday for lessons. It was 4 hours one way.
And you would do that all in one day, 4 hours up and 4 hours back?
Yes, I would stay for a lesson and then a studio class.
Wow. What came next in your studies?
And then I moved to Cleveland for a year. My teacher let me stay with him so that I could take classes at CIM.
The Cleveland Institute of Music.
Yes.
Would you see your family on weekends?
I would see them during the breaks and during the orchestra concerts. They would come up to see us perform.
Wow. What were you doing for high school during that year?
I was homeschooled, so I just continued that.
Continued homeschooling. And then you came to Interlaken just
for your senior year. Yes.
Wow. Can you give me the quick synopsis of all the very many places that you've lived throughout your young life?
Sure. So I was born in Australia, and then I moved to Thailand when I was 2, and then to Singapore. And then at some point I was in Malaysia, and I went back to Australia during one of the moves. And then when I was 5, I moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, and I've been here since.
Wow. I understand that you currently have a passion for watching car racing.
Yes, I do.
Okay, tell me, what is this all about?
So I like watching Formula One. It's very exciting.
Do you think there's any relationship between being an F1 driver and being a musician?
Yeah, I think so. They have to train and practice a lot before the actual performance. And there's so much that goes into preparing for one race. Whenever they're done racing, they're always thanking everyone back at the factory. And so they're just driving the car, but there are so many people who help them get to where they are now. It just reminds me of that.
That spirit of gratitude.
Yeah.
You are awesome, Allie. You play beautifully. You speak beautifully. Thank you for sharing your music with us today.
Thank you.
Alexandra Yeo, 17 years old, from all over the world, now living and studying at the Interlaken Arts Academy in Michigan. We're now going to enjoy the passionate clarinet playing of 17-year-old Luis Montero Hernandez, a student here at the Interlaken Arts Academy in Michigan. He and I will perform the last movement of Francis Poulenc's Sonata for Clarinet and Piano. Luis, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Are you ready to take this Poulenc from the top?
I am ready, yeah.
All right, let's do it, my man. Thank you. The third movement of Francis Poulenc's Sonata for Clarinet and Piano, performed by 17-year-old clarinetist Luis Montero Hernandez from Limon, Costa Rica, now studying here at Interlaken. I'm Peter Dugan. I was at the piano. Luis is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. It's so much fun to play that with you. And you physically are such a rhythmic player, and it's almost like you're dancing as you play.
Thank you.
I'm now going to turn the conversation over to our special guest and one of your teachers, clarinetist Gabriel Campos Zamora. Like yourself, he's also from Costa Rica. He came here to study at Interlaken, and like you, he's part of this great big From the Top family. In fact, he's now a board member as well as an alum. Thank you. And Gabby, hello, and thank you for being here. I'm going to let the two of you take it away.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Peter. This is going to be funny for us because, you know, we're used to speaking in Spanish. And not just Spanish, but Costa Rican Spanish. Obviously, we have a lot in common. We had our beginnings at the same school of music, at the Instituto Nacional de Música, La Sinfónica.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about why you picked the clarinet.
So I started playing at one of the CINEMs we have in Costa Rica.
Could you tell us what CINEM is?
It's like another music program we have, but it's more based on the social aspect of things. So I got to the one in Siquirres. I wanted to try the violin because it's the one you see the most. But I didn't like it the first time I tried it. So the teacher there said, we have this instrument that no one is using. You can give it a try. And it turns out it was a clarinet. I took lessons with the brass teacher, I think, because there was not like a clarinet teacher. Maybe after 1 or 2 years, we started looking for an actual clarinet teacher. We heard that that CNM had a clarinet teacher. So then I moved from the CNM in Siquirres to the CNM in Guasimo I stayed there for another year with this clarinet teacher. The University of Costa Rica has
like a regional campus.
Yeah. In the province of Limon. So next I went there. It was like a pre-college. That was like the first really like serious approach I had with the instrument. It was a big change. And that took me to audition for the Instituto Nacional de la Música in San Jose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's sort of where we meet, maybe 2018 or 19, because I was already living in Minnesota. And it was around that time, the person who would become your teacher, Leninis Aguirre, right? Mm-hmm. He contacted me that there was this really talented young kid from Jimenez. And at this point, you're starting to come up to the city, what, once a week for lessons and perhaps band? It's quite a bit of a trip, what, 2 to 3 hours each way?
Depends.
Maybe a little bit more if the tunnels is closed because it's up in the jungle,
yeah,
the rainforest. And when it rains really heavily, there are mudslides and the roads close.
For most of the day, I went to school. And then I had to go to San Jose right after I finished classes to the Sinfonica, right, to the institute. I did that for like a year, traveling back and forth between Guapiles and San Jose. And then after a year, we decided that it was the best option for me to look for another school located in San Jose.
So, a high school.
Yeah. So like I was more based on San Jose from that point on. I remember my teacher, Lenin, talked to me about having a lesson with you.
I remember when you told me that you were moving to San Jose so that you could continue your studies closer to the conservatory. I remember gaining an enormous amount of respect towards your parents because not only were they willing to support you and move you forward in your career in music, but they were also willing to make essentially a pretty significant change in their lives by moving from place A to place B.
Yeah, so my mom has always had a job in Guapiles, in Limon, but my dad has been kind of unemployed for most of the time for the past few years. So he has been the one that drives me everywhere. The family got like split because my mom was in Guapiles, I was in San Jose, and my dad kept traveling back and forth between those places. And I entered Lincoln High School. It was like a big jump for me because at Guapiles I took English classes, but not to the level at Lincoln. Basically, the only class I took in Spanish at Lincoln was Spanish. It was hard for me.
And at this time, you're also at the conservatory.
Yeah, after school, I used to go to the conservatory.
I would teach you as much as I could when I was visiting home, if I remember correctly.
I guess my teacher back then, Lenin, saw something in me. So he suggested me to like apply to Interlaken. I prepared a couple of pieces for the audition application, and I got accepted.
So eventually, yes, you make it to Interlaken, but it wasn't exactly a straightforward shot, right? There were some questions to be answered. I remember your parents reasoning through this. We might have to make some financial sacrifices. They expressed very reasonable concern for the future. So what happens after 2-3 years of Interlaken? You know, what are his chances?
I'm very grateful for that. They have always supported me in every decision I want to take. They didn't only think about this place as art or music, but like you're going to the America, learning English and relating with other types of people, different teachers, the cultural side of things. They saw that as something that could be helpful for me. Of course, it's a big sacrifice, both personally and financially. They basically have to work to pay a part of the tuition.
Of course.
I see them like maybe 2 or 3 weeks per year. That's a sacrifice.
Of course. Can you tell us a little bit about the cultural differences between growing up in Costa Rica and continuing your studies in a place like Interlaken?
So, of course, it was a big difference. The weather, food, the way people behave. Of course, the language is a big change. the way you schedule your day is different?
You know, when people say the rehearsal starts at 2 p.m., here it starts at 2 p.m. When people say the rehearsal starts at 2 p.m. in San Jose, you can arrive around 2:30 or so.
Yeah, it's very common.
I don't know how much you've thought about the fact that if you stay in the United States long term, you could define yourself as an immigrant.
I would rather like speak Spanish than English, of course. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, not seeing your family, your friends you have back at home. During Thanksgiving break last week, I went to Guapiles. I saw my classmates from 2018, 2019. And it's like, they're so different, right? Because I haven't seen them like in 3-4 years. I noticed that the way they behaved with each other was different from the way they behaved with me.
You're speaking my language here, man. No pun intended. I've always felt like no matter where I go, despite the fact that there are plenty of people, at least here in Minnesota, that are very supportive and loving of me, that I'm still somehow not from around here. On top of that, whenever I go home, I'm also not quite from there. And you're sort of this like eternal immigrant. Tell us about what some of your dreams and aspirations might be.
I think I've set my mind on trying to study and being a professional musician. I would want to play in an orchestra someday.
So knowing that you will have gone through a lot of stressful times, would you still choose this career path?
Yes, I would make the same choices as I've been doing so far. My parents, they grew up in Costa Rica 60 years ago. You know, it was hard for them to study, to get a job, to like be stable with a work, a house, a family. I think what they try to do every day is to give me the best options for me to have a better life than the ones they had, which basically translates to moving out of Costa Rica. Well, it's maybe a higher chance of having a more comfortable life in here.
Yeah, that's very powerful. I am also a Jack and Cook Award recipient. I was able to buy my instruments, my first set of instruments, and I paid for some of my college applications. Can you tell us what you intend to do with that price?
We plan to use the money on paying Interlaken's tuition for my senior year next year. Of course, it's going to be a big help.
Your parents are really incredible people that have supported you. Luis, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for taking the time to do the interview with me. I really, really appreciate it. You're a big inspiration for me.
Well, thank you. That's a very nice compliment.
You heard 17-year-old clarinetist Luis Montero Hernandez from Limon, Costa Rica, conversing with From the Top board member, alum, and principal clarinetist of the Minnesota Orchestra, Gabriel Campos Zamora. Thank you both so much for being with us today. And now, to close out our show, let's revisit a 2007 From the Top performance by our special guest today, principal clarinetist of the Minnesota Orchestra, Gabriel Campos Zamora. Here he is at just 17 years old, performing Solo de Concours by André Messager with pianist Christopher O'Reilly. We are grateful to all of our accomplished and talented young musicians who played for us today, and to you, our listeners, for taking the journey with us. I'm pianist Peter Dugan. Please join me next week, and we'll take it from the top. This episode was recorded at the Interlaken Public Radio with the support of sound engineer Michael Culler. A heartfelt thank you to the Jack Kent Cook Foundation. They support our young musicians through the Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award and, with the Jack Kent Cook Young Scholars Program, provide pre-college scholarships for high-performing 7th grade students with financial need. Find them on the web at jkcf.org. From the Top is produced by Megan Swan and Abigail Desser. Sound design and music editing by John Escobar, with editing and mastering by Rodrigo Cuenca. Our production manager is Amanda Roth. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency connecting young people with the arts in schools and in their communities. Learn more at massculturalcouncil.org. From BritBox, streaming the Agatha Christie collection, featuring new original mystery Murder is Easy and full series including Poirot and Why Didn't They Ask Evans. Streaming the collection at BritBox.com/NPR. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
This is ICANN.
At the International Children's Arts Network, we love tongue twisters. And today I have a tongue twister for you.
All right, let's hear it.
Betty Botter bought a bit of butter, but she said, "This bit of butter's bitter. But a bit of better butter mixed with this butter might just make my bit of bitter butter better." So, Betty bought a bit of better butter to make her bitter butter better.
All right, let me try. Betty Botter bought a bit of butter, but she said, "This bit of butter's bitter. But a bit of better butter mixed with this butter might just make my bit of bitter butter better." So Betty bought a bit of better butter to make her bitter butter better.
You did that flawlessly. You can find tongue twisters like this at iCanRadio.org.
The International Children's Arts Network is community funded, supported by listeners like you, and by a grant from the Joyce N. Furman Memorial Trust, celebrating a lifetime of giving to children, education, and the arts.
KQAC HD2 Portland 89.9.
KQOC HD2 Glenydon Beach 88.1.
KSLC HD2 McMinnville 90.3.
And KQHR HD2 The Dells and Hood River 88.1.